as I seek your guidance for the day. I find my thoughts unyielding, confusion crowds my way. But then when I bow to you, the challenge is to guide me through. Your promises are ever new, I claim them for today. Your will cannot lead me where your grace cannot keep me. Your hands will protect me, I rest in your care. Your eyes will watch over. I still will find you there. Each new day's design is chartered by your hand and graciously revealed as I seek your master plan. Keep my footsteps faithful. I still will find you there. Your eyes will watch over me. Your love will forgive me. And when I am faltering, I still will find you there.
Thank you. Let's all stand together for a minute. We'll stretch for a minute. We'll read a few verses here. John chapter 11. I realize that the service is because of the special things we have done has taken a little longer. Now, we are on a different schedule. We're not doing the message right away. Nobody's going to Monterey Maywood from here, so have that in your mind, but I will not go long. We'll get out at the same time we always do, so if you could just take comfort in that. We won't be here forever, all right? John chapter 11, verses 1, we'll start there. It says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. So Lazarus, we see here, is sick. And of course, his sisters are concerned for him. So they send somebody to Jesus Christ to give him a message saying, hey, Lazarus, the one you love, he's sick. Of course, they wanted him to do something about it. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified therein. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so he gets the message, and I believe the message is sent back that, hey, this sickness isn't unto death, it's God's glory. Now, and it repeats again in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. So he didn't leave. He sends the message back to them, hey, the sickness is not a death, it's for God's glory. And then he stays there for 2 days. Now, during this time, we find out that Lazarus does die. Skip down to verse 11. It says, these things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, his disciples, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Now their thinking is, he's resting. He's getting better. Okay, he's sleeping. You said that the sickness was unto death, so obviously he's just resting. That's good for him. And Jesus is trying to get something else across to them. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now here's the key verse I want us to look at. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. He says, you know what? I'm glad I wasn't there, because I want you guys to believe. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this morning, these folks that thought it important enough to come and to be in your house. And I pray, Lord, in these few minutes we have, that you would speak to us through your word. Help us to learn something, Father, that would be an encouragement to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here's the story as we read through these verses. Of course, we see that Lazarus gets sick. Jesus is about 20 miles away. The sisters send someone to talk to him to say, hey, look, Lazarus is dead. They obviously wanted him to do something about it. Jesus hears this message and sends back word saying, it's going to be fine. He's not sickness. It's not unto death. It's for God's glory. And then he does something interesting. He sticks around for 2 days. He doesn't even take off right away to get to him. By the time he'll get there, Lazarus will have been dead already 4 days, and he will have been buried. He explains to the disciples as before he goes that Lazarus is already dead, and they get a little bit confused about this. The key phrase I want you to see in there is he says this, that you may believe. You see, this whole situation and everything that's going on, it's so that ye may believe. Now, at first thought, that sounds a little confusing. He wasn't talking to a crowd of unbelievers. He was talking to his guys. They traveled with him. They spent time with him. And he said, this whole thing that's going on here is, I'm going to use this not just to glorify me, but I want you to really, honestly, and truly believe. These men had faith, but they did not have the kind of faith that Jesus was going to need them to have. You see, these men one day were going to have enough faith to lead them to put their lives, well, really, to die for their beliefs. They all did. Of course, Judas was a deceiver. John did not die, but he was heavily, heavily persecuted. You see, sometimes it's only through a difficult time that we really find out, what do we really believe? You see, it's easy to say we believe something and everything is true when things are going well. But if you really want to find out what you believe, wait until the times get tough. And then the rubber hits the road. Our church has been through some tough days lately. And let me just say this. God wants to strengthen our faith. God wants us to really not just have a verbal knowledge that we believe, but an inside rock-solid faith knowledge that we believe. If you will, turn to one more portion of Scripture, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You see, although things come into our life that we don't necessarily like, and maybe God is not the author of it, although in his sovereignty he has allowed it, God can always use it. And God has an ulterior plan behind it. James chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The word temptations means trials. The word diverse means different types. And he says, when you have these different types of trials in your life, you need to count it all joy. The word count is an accounting term. It means that it adds up. It makes sense. If you look at the whole overall picture of things, it will add up to joy in your life. Now, we don't understand that. It adds up. I remember when my daughter Jessica was little, one day she was at the house. She was probably about 6 or 7, and she had a calculator in her hand. And she said, she was messing with it. She didn't quite get it. She goes, "What is this thing?" So it's a calculator. I said, "What it does, it'll do math for you. It'll add." She goes, "How does it work?" I said, "Well, you put the first number in, and then you put a plus. You put the second number, hit the equal, it'll give you the answer." She goes, "Nuh-uh." I'm like, "Try it." And she, I don't know what she put. She put a number in there, and she pushed the buttons, and then she was like, "Hey, it works." She didn't trust me. Okay. And God says when we have these trials in our life, we need to sit there, and we need to add it up in our mind, and we need to realize that it does work to our joy. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God's trying to teach us patience, but let patience have her perfect work, complete, maturing work, that you may be perfect and entire, mature and complete, lacking or wanting nothing or lacking nothing. You see, when these trials come into our life that God brings, He's trying to teach us something. He's trying to get us to learn patience. He's trying to help us to become mature, fully developed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we only get that in trials. Now, there's two things from this story I want us to look at. If we are going to truly believe and get what God wants us to get out of these hard times, first of all, there's some facts that we're going to have to overcome. There are some things we're going to have to look at that would cause us to maybe be in our mind to kind of be out of kilter, and we're going to have to come to grips with it. Several of these facts we need to overcome. The first one is the message. You see, they sent a message to Jesus, and they said, "Therefore his sister said unto him." They wanted to make sure that Jesus knew what was going on. "Hey, Lord, we're having a tough situation here. My brother is really sick, and I want to make sure, do you really know what's going on here? Let me assure you this morning, no matter what you're going through, you don't need to send the message. God already knows what's going on." And sometimes in our mind, we have trouble with that. "God, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know how I feel?" God knows everything. And rest assured, He knows what's going on. The message got through. We just have a hard time understanding this. In Isaiah chapter 55, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." God's way of thinking is a lot greater than our way of thinking. Aren't you glad? Things don't all of a sudden occur to God like, "Oh, wow, really?" No, He knew. He's got it. And He says, "My ways are not your ways." We try to figure it out in our mind, and we try to set it out in reality so that everything works out right. And God goes, "You can't figure it out, and you can't make it work out. That's my job, because my thoughts are higher than yours, and my ways are higher than yours." He says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We can't figure it all out. Can I just tell you something? You don't have to. Let God figure it out. But if we're going to get this growth, if we're going to truly believe, we have to overcome the message. We also have to overcome the emotion. "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." The scripture also says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He had a close relationship with his family, and they knew it. They kind of, you know, it's nice that all of us think that we're God's pets. God does love all of us. But sometimes when the trouble comes, we start to wonder, "Hey, do you know what's going on?" And then we're like, "Do you really love me? Do you really care?" Remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, and they were going to the other side, and they're in this storm, and they're all freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping at the bottom of the boat. Now, instead of going down there saying, "Well, Jesus is sleeping, it's all going to be well," they woke him up, and what did they say? "Master, don't you care that we're perishing?" I think he does. I think he does. Never question God's love for you. We have a hard time with that. "Well, if God loves me, then why do all these things happen?" Let me answer that for you. I don't know. So you're supposed to have all the answers. I don't even know all the questions. I don't have to know, because his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. I don't know. When we get to heaven, we'll know. But right now, we don't know. I just have to stick with the things in the scripture that I do know. And I know that God loves us. We look at Job. One day Satan comes and he's up presenting himself to God and talking to God, and where you been? I've been doing this and that. And God goes, hey, you know, you check out my guy, Job. He's perfect, upright, hates evil. Have you ever checked him out? He's one of my cream of the crop. Now, here's someone God brags on to the devil. Now, I wonder what God would say to the devil if he was talking about us. You know John Castle? Pray for him, Satan. He's having a hard time. Anyhow, but God says about Job, hey, he's one of my, I was going to yell, name one of the service forces, but then we'll have a riot here. He's one of my top guys. But yet, did that keep Job from going through a mess of trouble? No. Did God change his mind about Job? No. Never question God's love for you. But we do. Our emotions get out of kilter. Another thing we need to overcome the circumstances. It says, when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days in the same place where he was. You know, when something happens that is unpleasant or something happens that just throws our life into utter chaos, you know what we start working through? We start working through the circumstances. Well, if this wouldn't have happened, this wouldn't have happened. If only this would have happened. Well, why did he stay 2 days? Why didn't he rush over here? By the way, Lazarus was already dead, but why didn't he rush over here? Why didn't he come right? If he would have only come right away. And you work out all these little details, and you can throw yourself into an emotional turmoil. Years ago, I had a step uncle, and he had a son, and his son drove semis, and he went and got his load and got on the 710 freeway, was following another truck. The guy in the truck in front of him, his load for some reason was a little bit too high. And they were driving down the 710, and he was behind this guy, and this guy's truck nicked the top of an overpass, and a chunk of concrete came loose. And it bounced along the back of the guy's truck and came through his cab window and killed him. And my uncle had a hard time with that. Will you imagine just sitting there thinking, well, what if he had been in the other lane? What if this guy had measured correct? What if he was just back a few extra feet and it just would have front and he would just would have ran over the concrete? And all these thoughts scroll through you, all these little details. Listen, we can't change that past. Don't stew over the details. The circumstances can't be changed. We have to understand that God is in control. You can't change it, so why think about it? Let's go forward from where we're at. And then we see there's confusion. We have to overcome the confusion. He told the disciples, he goes, now look, he's trying to tell them that Lazarus is already dead. He's preparing them for what he's going to do. And he says, hey, Lazarus is asleep. I'm going to wake him up. And they're, hey, yeah, man, he's healing. That's what they're thinking. He's sleeping. If he's resting, he's doing well. He needs rest. And then he says, he's dead. What? I mean, this took a turn for the worse. I thought everything was, you know, sometimes we get in a situation and we think everything's handled, everything is under control, and then it takes another turn and we get all out of, we can't control everything. We need to understand that we can't control. God is in control. And we look at everything from the here and now. All they looked at from the here, he's dead. What's that all about? Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do in a little bit. And he was trying to prepare them. But we get all confused about what's going on. And then another thing we need to overcome is discouragement. See, he goes now and he finally pulls into town and the ladies hear he's there. And Martha's the first one to come with him. Look down in John if you're still there in verse 20. It says, and then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. Hey, Jesus is here. He's almost here. He's out here. And she rushes to meet him. But her sister Mary sat in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, now listen to this, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Do you sense the discouragement? Lord, if you'd only been here. If. Where were you? If only you were here when this happened, I know this wouldn't have happened. A few verses down, her sister Mary leaves the house to go see Christ. Verse 32, then Mary, when she was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him the exact same thing. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Obviously, this is something the sisters had talked about in the house. They said this at two separate times without being with each other. So this is obviously something they had stewed about for a few days as their brother's in a tomb. They're like, Lord, if the Lord had only been here, he wouldn't have died. The discouragement sets in. See, if we're going to really get out of a situation what God wants, see, we can't change it, so we might as well stick with the Lord and find out what he wants to do through it. But we're going to have to overcome all of these things that fly at us. So there's some facts to overcome, but here's the good part. Here's the faith it takes to overcome. What do we have to do? We don't want to live an if. Don't ever live an if. If only, don't live there. So what are these things that will help us in our faith? If we're really going to believe, we have to believe in prayer. Right after Martha says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. I like how she follows up with the next verse. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. She still believed in prayer even though all this was going on. She said, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. But I know that God answers prayer, and whatever you ask for, God will give to you. You see what happens when we go through hard times? Sometimes we pull away from God when we ought to be drawing closer to him. You say, but I have all these feelings. I'm discouraged. Everything you mentioned, I have. You know what? Why don't you just go tell God about it? Nothing throws him off. Lord, I'm discouraged. They always say, never ask God why. I have. Say, you shouldn't have. I know, pray for me. Lord, I don't, but you know, I always come back, Lord, I don't know why, but I trust you. Come to the Lord. Lord, I'm confused about this situation. Don't just internalize everything. You come to the Lord in prayer and say, I don't understand what's going on, but Lord, I have faith in you, and I trust in you. Lord, do with that which is best. She believed in prayer. I feel sorry for those that go through problems that don't have God. Wow. I don't want to have to try to handle things. Now, next week's old-fashioned Sunday. You know, we get to be little kids again and dress up like gunslingers, and we're under control. You got nothing under control. We don't. We need God every day of every year. 24 hours a day, we need the Lord. And so we need to come before him. Don't let how you're feeling keep you from coming to God for the answers. She still believed in prayer. If you're going to have the faith to overcome, we have to believe in Scripture. Verse 24, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now Christ was talking to her and preparing her for what he was going to do. And she said, I do believe in the resurrection, because she believed in what she had heard from the Old Testament scriptures. And I believe that. I believe in what you're saying, Jesus. Hey, still believe in God's word. Don't let that get away from you. The strength we need comes from getting down on our knees before God and getting in his word. Scripture. If we doubt God's word, we're going to doubt God. The very strength that we need to continue to go on comes from his word. And yet it's usually the first thing we ditch. See, the Bible does tell us we live by faith and not by sight. Sight is living by what I can see, what I can figure out. Faith is living by what God says. So we have to have the faith to overcome. We have to believe in Scripture. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to believe in love. You see, the Bible, as he goes to the grave, it says, he said to some of them that were nearby, he said, where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. He goes, I want to see where you have Lazarus. And then Jesus goes and then he weeps. And then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. They said, wow, he really loved Lazarus. Just because things don't go the way we would like, doesn't mean God doesn't love us. God feels everything you feel. Do you know God has feelings? Do you know Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he went through everything we'll ever go through and then some? You know, sometimes people have problems and you talk to them, and when you try to comfort them, you try to say, I know how you're feeling. But to be honest with you, there are cases when you don't know how they're feeling. you don't know what to say. I remember years ago, I was about 20 years old, 21 years old, and I was a bus captain in Bible college, and I'd go through on Sunday, we'd pick up these families and bring them to church, and there was a, we had a good family on our bus route, the Pasco family. It was a mother and five children. They came to church regularly. I mean, they came, we'd pick them up in the morning, and they'd stay all day, and we'd drop them off at night. Faithful, faithful, great people. Her husband would never come to church, and I remember one Saturday, we were there, and we were visiting just before he went to work, and I was talking to him. And right before he left out of the house, you know, he'd always see me, Greek guy. How's the church business? Like, it's not a business, Mr. Pasco. But a nice guy, and I was talking to him. And I got to go to work, and he said goodbye, closed the door, and took off. The next morning, I would drop my wife. We weren't married at that time, but we would drop her off and in this little area with some of the workers. They would round the kids up, and I would pick them up at the Pasco's house. And so I pulled the bus up. That was our last stop before we had come to church. My wife came out, and she just did not look good. She looked sick, and she says, you need to come in and talk to Mrs. Pasco. And come to find out that after her husband had left, the day before, he went to work, and 30 minutes after he left his house, he dropped dead of a heart attack. And here I am sitting at the table with her, and she's looking to me for comfort. I didn't know what to tell her. I'm like, I felt like Job's friends the first 7 days. I couldn't say, I've been through that. I hadn't. I don't have to tell her. And she was very gracious, and I tried to spit out some theology or whatever it was I had. Did the best I could to comfort her. But I couldn't say, I know what you're going through. You know, God knows, I don't care what your situation is, he knows what you're going through. He feels what you're going through. He's felt it. He's went through it. You're not in this thing alone. He loves you. If we're going to have the faith to overcome, we need to believe in eternity. Yeah. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. For he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yeah. I know, we don't want to hear it. Heaven's real. Yeah. There is an afterlife. And all the nonsense that goes on this earth, there is a day of reckoning coming. Amen. There is a day of reward coming. It's not in vain. And sometimes we get that feeling like it's just nothing but misery and pain and blah, blah, blah. Hey, heaven is real and we're going to be there one day. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm so glad that there's something more to this life. Oh, all there is this life. Grab all you can. Brother, there's not enough to grab. Well, when you die, you go to the grave and that's all. No, no, no. There's more to it than that. Well, I know these people, and they seem to have got away with it in their life. They ain't getting away with it when they die. Heaven is real. There is an afterlife. We cannot comprehend it. When I come into work in the morning, I always listen to 10 minutes of radio, and I listen to this sports guy. Maybe I shouldn't, but I do. And he sometimes has some things that are pretty, actually, he's pretty solid, but he got off on the wrong horse the other day. He was talking, he goes, you know, now religion. You know, religion is okay. I have no problem with it. I'm like, okay, here we go. He goes, personally, I don't believe in anything, but it's a crutch. I'm like, seriously? Ah, it's a crutch for those that need it. Now, personally, I don't need it. By the way, he's going to need it someday. Yeah. By the way, that doesn't bother me when someone, it's a crutch for those of you that are weak. I'm weak. I need the crutch. By the way, you can act all macho and tough and all you want. You need the crutch too. You ain't fooling anybody. And there's going to come a day when you need it and you ain't got it and you're going to be sorry. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you weak. That makes you strong to have someone like God in your corner. And the last thing is this. We're done. What else do we need to believe to overcome? We have to believe in the motive. Go all the way back. The answer is in verse 4, the very first thing Jesus said. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. You know what? God wants to be glorified in any situation that comes our way. You see, one way someone that doesn't know the Lord or doesn't understand God kind of gets an inkling that something's going on is when a Christian goes through a tough time and they see that there's a difference in the way we handle it. Let me tell you one story. I'll be done. I was listening to David Gibbs. He's an attorney. He's been to our church several times, helped us when we had to go to the city council meeting. He said one time he was supposed to preach in a city. I believe it was on the East Coast. And so he was within driving distance. He was staying somewhere. The next morning, he was going to drive there for the morning service. This church was having a big day. He said that as that Saturday afternoon, he got a call from the pastor. The pastor said, you know, Brother Gibbs, I don't know if you should come. He goes, we've had a tragedy in our church, and I don't know if you really even need to come. He goes, what happened? He goes, well, we're out for our big day, and we're going to go out visiting, and we're visiting as many people as we can to get them to church. He goes, and two of my best men grabbed some cards, and they were going to go make some follow-up visits to encourage these people to be at our church for the big day. He said, and as they got in the car, they were out for that first visit. A car went through a red light or something at a stop sign and slammed into them, and both men were instantly killed. He goes, our church is just, we don't know what to do. He goes, I have to go meet with the wives right now. He goes, but I don't even know if I'm going to have you. Brother Gibbs said, listen, you don't want me there. I'll come and I'll just sit in the pews and I'll pray for you. He goes, I'll call you back later this evening. So the pastor calls him back later that evening and goes, it's incredible. You won't believe what's going on. He said, I went and talked to the wives and they were devastated. They were distraught, but they said, we want to go see the accident site. The pastor's like, you don't want to see that. They go, we want to go. He's like, couldn't talk him out of it. So he took him to the accident site. While they were there, they saw the cards that the men had that they were going to visit, the people they're going to visit. And the lady said, Pastor, we want to go visit these people. He goes, our husbands died trying to visit them. We at least want to go by and let them know what's going on. Amen. So they did. He goes, you take us. He started taking them. Somebody in one of the news station, local news stations got a hold of the story. And all these news crews started covering it. They couldn't believe the women were actually doing this. And everybody in their community started hearing about it. And the pastor said, you need to be here tomorrow morning. Brother Gibbs said he goes to the church in the morning and the news cameras are there, the crews are there. I mean, there's news crews there. He said the church building was packed and there was more people outside of the building that couldn't get in than there were actually in the building. And he said, when I got up to preach, he goes, I couldn't even really preach. People started coming down the altar to start to pray. And he goes, people were coming from the community, coming up saying, I don't know what those two ladies have, but I want to find out about it. They couldn't imagine that these two ladies that just lost their husband would say, I still want to go see these people my husband were trying to see. Amen. What is that? You know what these ladies said? I know this is a tragic event. I want God to be glorified. Now let me say this. We don't have to have something that tragic in order for God to be glorified. Right. Now it might be something like that in your life. It might be something like that in our life, but it's in anything that happens in our life. How you handle it says to the world what a believer is really like. And it says, you know, that knowledge that they have in their mind, it's not just a head knowledge, it's in their heart, that ye might believe. Let's pray.